So we'll chant Jai Radha Madhava. This was one of Srila Prabhupada's favorite bhajans. He used to sing it for every Srimad Bhagavatam class, and he said, everything is here. Krishna's here with the gopis, the Jamuna, Mother Yasoda. So this was very dear to Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi jana bala va jivana dhari. Gopi jana bala va jivana dhari. Chasura nandana braja jana ranjana. Chasura nandana braja jana ranjana. Jamuna kira banachari. Jamuna kira banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi jana bala va jivana dhari. Gopi jana bala va jivana dhari. Chasura nandana braja jana ranjana. Chasura nandana braja jana ranjana. Jamuna kira banachari. Jamuna kira banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi jana bala va jivana dhari.
jana bala vari dana kari Chatura nandana braja jana ranjana 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 Danuna tira vanachari Danuna tira vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parvacharya Parashish Mahat His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnav in the key. Namacharya Shri Haridas Thakur Ki. Vrancha Kahoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adwaita Gadadhar Shivasari Goa Bhakta Vrinda Ki. Shri Radha Krishna Gogopinath Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki. Vrindavan Dham Ki. Navadvip Dham Ki. Jagannath Puri Dham Ki. Nirraman Reti Dham Ki. Gangamayi Ki. Jamuna Mayi Ki. Tulsi Maharani Ki. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 16, text number 5. And this chapter is entitled, How Parikshit Received the Age of Kali. Could someone chant the Sanskrit?
Shanakuvacha
Shanakuvacha
Kasyahetur Nidragraha
Kasyahetur Nidragraha
Kalim
Digri Jayate Nipa
Nrideva
Chidna Drikshudra Kosal Gramya Padahanat Tat Tatyam Mahabhaga Yadi Krishna Katashrayam
Sanaka
Uvacha
Sudra
Kaso Gramya Padahanat
Tat
Katyatam Mahabhaga
Yadi Krishna Katashayam
Yadi Krishna Katashrayam
Shaunaka
Uvacha
Kasya
Hetur Nidagrata
Kalim
Jigvayate Nirpa
Nirdeva
Chidnadrishudra
Kausagamya Padahanat
Kausagamya Padahanat Tat Katyatam Mahabhaga
Yadi Krishna Katashrayam
Shanaka Uvacha
Kasya Hetur Nidagrata
Kalim Vigriyate Nipa Nigel Chitna Dikeshwara Kosa Gramya Padahanat Tatyatam Mahabhaga Katashrayam. Ladies?
Kasya Hetur Nidagrata
Kasya Hetur Nidagrata
Kalam Vigriyate Nipa Nidema Chitta Vichena Kosa Gramya Padahanat Tatkatyatam Mahabhaga
Yadi Krishna
Katashrayam. Sanaka Uvacha.
Sanaka
Rishi said,
Kasya,
for what?
Hetu,
reason. Nijagrata,
sufficiently punished.
Kalim,
the master of the age of Kali.
Digvijayate, during the time of his world tour. Nripa, the king. Nirdeva,
royal person.
Chitnadrik,
decorated like.
Sudraka,
lowest of the Sudras.
Asau,
he.
Gam,
cow.
Ya,
one who.
Padahanat,
struck with his leg.
Tat,
all that.
Katyatam,
please describe.
Mahabhaga,
O greatly fortunate one.
Yadi,
if.
If, however.
Krishna,
about Krishna,
Kata Ashrayam,
related to his topics.
Translation and purport,
Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Sanaka Rishi inquired, why did Maharaj Parikshit simply punish him, since he was the lowest of the Sudras, having dressed as a king and having struck a cow with his leg? Please describe all these incidents if they relate to the topics of Lord Krishna. So, repeat after me. Sanaka Rishi inquired,
why did Maharaj Parikshit simply punish him?
Since he was the lowest of the Sudras,
having dressed as a king,
and having struck a cow with his leg.
Please describe all these
incidents
if they relate to the topics of Lord Krishna.
In purport,
Sanaka and the Rishis were astonished to hear that pious Maharaj Parikshit simply punished the culprit and did not kill him. This suggests that a pious king like Maharaj Parikshit should have at once killed an offender who wanted to cheat the public by dressing like a king and at the same time daring to insult the purest of the animals, a cow. The rishis in those days could not even imagine that in the advanced days of the age of Kali, the lowest of the sudras will be elected as administrators and will open organized slaughterhouses for killing cows. Anyway, although hearing about a sudraka who was a cheat and an insulter of a cow was not very interesting to the great rishis, they nevertheless wanted to hear about it to see if the event had any connection with Lord Krishna. They were simply interested in the topics of Lord Krishna, for anything that is dovetailed with the narration of Krishna is worth hearing. There are many topics in the Bhagavatam about sociology, politics, economics, cultural affairs, etc. But all of them are in relation with Krishna, and therefore all of them are worth hearing. Krishna is the purifying ingredient in all matters, regardless of what they are. In the mundane world, everything is impure due to its being a product of the three mundane qualities. The purifying agent, however, is Krishna. So, Om Gyana Timurandasya Ganangana Salakaya Chakchur Umiditam Jina Tasmai Shri Purve Namaha Mukham Kuroti Vachalam Pangangam Hate Girin Yak Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Guru Dinatarnam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Vanchakalpa Chirubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyebhyascha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the translation once again. Sanaka Rishi inquired, why did Maharaj Parikshit simply punish him, since he was the lowest of the sudras, having dressed as a king and having struck a cow with his leg? Please describe all these incidents if they relate to the topics of Lord Krishna. So this is a very wonderful verse and purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in my research yesterday, I found that actually Srila Prabhupada also gave a class on this verse and purport in 1974 in Los Angeles. And he, just like half of his purport, and is about this Yadi Krishna Kata Shrayam. And he quoted that many times during his talk. And it's very important that only if it's interest, only if it has a relationship to Krishna did they want to hear it. And he's saying that should be the motto for devotee's life. That if it's not connected to Krishna, then we're not interested in it. We should only be interested in things that make us more attached to Krishna. So he spoke a lot about that, and he also spoke about how we're not the body, you know, these two things, which, of course, we're not the body is the very, you know, ABC of spiritual life. It's the beginning. Krishna starts out in Bhagavad Gita about how we're not the body. But it's very important, it's very profound too, about this not the body, and therefore we should only be interested in things that are in relation to Krishna, that are eternal. Just like we're a spirit soul, we're eternal. All these topics about Krishna are also eternal, and that should be, we should have this eagerness to hear, because by hearing about Krishna, by associating with Krishna, we become like Krishna. We'll actually become fully purified. Prabhupada was saying, just like if you associate with fire, you'll become like fire, you'll become hot. So we should always have this eagerness to hear about Krishna, and just like these sages. So this is Sanaka Rishi, who was like the head sage in the Namasharanya forest. He was asking from Suta Goswami about this very puzzling thing. Like, why didn't Parikshit kill this offender? And it wasn't a very palatable thing to hear about this personified Kali, who was dressed like a king, who was actually a fraud, a pretender, cheating the people, and he was actually attacking a cow, and he should have been killed. Of course, this was the very beginning of Kali Yuga, and Lord Chaitanya, he appeared to also kill the demons, but in a different way, to kill the demoniac mentality by preaching, by spreading the Sankirtan movement. And this was exemplified in the pastime of Jagai and Madai, where they were completely sinful. They committed so many sins. It's described that was it Chandragupta, who was the scribe of Yamaraj, had a hard time keeping up all their sinful activities, which was written down in a book so that they would be punished at the time of death. It's described that Jagai and Madai, when they would hear that, oh, it's a great offense to insult a brahmana, then they would immediately go out and do it, or it's a great offense to do these things. That's all they wanted to do. It's described also, though, that this Jagai and Madai, they were actually Jai and Vijai, and they took an extra birth just to be in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, and they were delivered by Lord Chaitanya. But the story is that when Nityananda and Haridas Thakur went to preach to them, Lord Nityananda was struck in the forehead and he started to bleed. And when Lord Chaitanya heard about this, he immediately came there and invoked his Sudarshan Chakra, and he was ready to kill him. But I can't remember if it was Jagai and Madai that was the one who actually hit Lord Chaitanya. Was it Jagai? Yeah, Jagai. And he fell Lord Chaitanya's feet and begged him, or Lord Nityananda, he begged forgiveness. And when Lord Nityananda saw Lord Chaitanya with the Sudarshan Chakra disc ready to kill them, he restrained Lord Chaitanya. He said, no, this is not your purpose in this age to kill the demons. You just have to, you just kill the demoniac mentality. So in that way, they were saved. And that is the way, the Sankirtan movement of today, that we don't physically, even though everybody may be so sinful, it's not up to us to punish them in that way, but we should try to rectify their mentality by spreading the Sankirtan movement and preaching and killing their demoniac mentality. That is the the way of Lord Chaitanya's movement. So we should be very eager to hear. And actually, in the Nectar Devotion, this eagerness is described as lalyam. And it's described that that is the secret of success in Krishna consciousness, is that we have to be very eager to perform devotional service, to hear. When Srila Prabhupada first met his spiritual master, and when he first started coming to see Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati noticed that he was very eager to hear, and he marked him and said, this person is very eager to hear. And Srila Prabhupada said, because I was very eager to hear, now I'm very eager to preach. And of course, we pray every day that on our right before the Guru Pooj, prayers, is my only wish is to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth. So we have to be eager to hear. And everything is based on desire. So this question sometimes comes up. It's actually the beginning of the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It says that it appears that Krishna favors the demigods and he is not so favorable to the demons. And Maharaj Parikshit brought up this question to Sukadeva Goswami, and Sukadeva Goswami answered it, and he also, in his midst of answering it, he cited Maharaj Yudhisthira's same question about how Krishna appears to be partial. And his question was that he actually personally witnessed Sisupal, who was a great offender of Krishna. All he was doing is just criticizing Krishna constantly. And Maharaj Yudhisthira was saying, you know, why? How did Sisupal attain this? He actually merged into the body of Krishna, which is a very difficult thing. Said, how is it that Sisupal, even though he was such an offender, that he got this this benediction? It seems like, you know, somehow Krishna was partial. But in this, when Narada Muni was answering this, of course, this is the beginning of the whole pastime of Pallad and the Sringadeva. And he's explains that Krishna is not partial. He's just awarding people what they desire. And everyone is within the three modes of material nature. Some, like the demigods, are generally in the mode of goodness, and the demons are in the mode of passion, and the rakshasas are in the mode of ignorance. And sometimes these modes, according to the influence of time, are prominent. And it seems like, oh, the demigods are flourishing and they're in the mode of goodness. But it has no partiality of Krishna. These are just like the modes working and Krishna awarding everyone their desire, what they desire. But we have our free will and we can choose what we desire. So just because we're born, we may have been born in demoniac families, you know, completely in the mode of ignorance in the West, but by hearing about Krishna, by Srila Prabhupada, you know, coming and preaching, we can change our desire. And therefore, Krishna will also reciprocate accordingly. So it's not that Krishna is partial to anyone. He's equal to everyone. But according to our desire, according to what we want, so that is an open secret of devotional service. Is that if we have a great desire to serve Krishna, to please our spiritual master, Krishna will help us. So, and even in the Nectar of Ocean, where it's talking about this lion or this great eagerness, it's described that people, devotees, shed tears of eagerness to serve Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada states that these tears are actually the price that we have to pay to go back home, back to Godhead. We should be so eager that we're crying for devotional service. And of course, Mahatma Prabhu on Radhastami gave a wonderful class about the tears, about how, you know, Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yasoda were crying so much in separation from Krishna, they created a river. And the Acharyas, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I believe, stated that in the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, you know, Patram Pushpam Palam Tvayam, you know, just offer me some fruit, a leaf, or a little water. That the best water to offer Krishna is actually your tears in this separation or this eagerness. So I thought that was a wonderful point about how the tears are the best water that you can actually offer to Krishna. So we have to be eager to hear. This reminds me of a an evening darshan in New Vrindavan in 1976. And I'd like to discuss this a little bit, get some feedback also, where Srila Prabhupada, every evening, he would give a darshan, and Pushta Krishna was his secretary, and Drishta Dumna Maharaj were traveling with him, and a few Radha Damodar traveling parties had come to that evening darshan, and one of the leaders of the of this van party from Radha Damodar asked Srila Prabhupada a question during the darshan, and he said, Srila Prabhupada, when I'm out preaching and distributing your books, I ran into someone when I was trying to distribute him a book. He said, I already know God. You know, I don't need Krishna. I don't need the Bhagavad Gita. So what should we say to a person like that? And Srila Prabhupada just said, why are you asking this question? So he was a little flustered, and he just repeated. He said, no, this is, you know, somebody said this to me, that, you know, I don't need your book, I already know God. And Srila Prabhupada again repeated, why are you asking this question? And Pushta Krishna, who was sitting by the side of Srila Prabhupada, he said, Srila Prabhupada, it's not his question, this is somebody who he was preaching to. And Srila Prabhupada looked at him and said, he may be able to fool you, but he can't fool me. And then again, with heaviness, he said, why are you asking this question? You know, just everybody was silent. And he said, why don't you read my books? And he didn't answer the question. He just left it at that, just very heavily. He said, why don't you read my books? And, you know, it was very memorable, very dramatic way of talking about this. But then it was actually like 2 days later, and according to my estimation, it was just like out of a blue, and Srila Prabhupada brought it up again, and he said, what is this, I already know God, I don't need the Bhagavad Gita? And he said, if you actually knew God, you'd be so happy to get the Bhagavad Gita. You'd be so happy to hear about him. And it was one of the symptoms that if you actually know God, you're very happy to hear about him. So therefore, you know, we could understand that he didn't know God. But it's just, for me, it was so interesting how Srila Prabhupada didn't really answer that question at that time. And he just said, why aren't you reading my books? And I would just like to get a little feedback about, you know, how Srila Prabhupada answered it. And I just want to make like one point before we get into a little discussion, that this verse in the Bhagavatam about how you have to be thoroughly honest, how the sages were thoroughly honest. And with dealing with the spiritual master, you have to be thoroughly honest. Like if he asks you, what would you like to do? You shouldn't think, oh, well, maybe this will please him. But you should actually, I mean, of course, you should always think of what should please him. But if he's asking you, you have to be very honest and just say, you know, what you want to do. If he's asking you that question, it's that we shouldn't try to manipulate the spiritual master and try to get him to say something. And we should just be very submissive and actually feel like a fool in front of the spiritual master. But you shouldn't think of him as, you know, your master and try to manipulate him in a certain way, try to get him to say something like that. So anyways, we have a little discussion on this, how Srila Prabhupada dealt with this question. You wanted to say something? No? Okay, Street to D.
Oh, what's wrong? Well, one thing is Prabhupada's actually talking to the person, you know?
Yeah.
And so he's not, it's like sometimes it's, I mean, it's somehow something that resonates with me. You read these conversations and so forth, and he's actually talking to his disciples, and it's not like an academic you know, presentation, we're just analyzing the meaning of the word is, or you know, as was brought up in yesterday's class indirectly. You know, so he's actually, you know, sometimes when people really know each other having a conversation, they're really not talking about the thing on the surface, they're really plumbing stuff beneath the surface. And Prabhupada actually brought that out in that exchange, you know, he could fool me, he can fool you, he can't. So he was plumbing something in that individual a little bit deeper. So that's one thing going on there. So maybe there was, I don't know who it was and I wasn't there, but maybe there was some other issues, you know, where he thought there was something that needed to be addressed. That the question was really a symptom of, on the other hand, you know, there is the surface question too, and you know, it's not like you couldn't be doing two things at once as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Anyone else?
Oh, I better get up.
All right. I'm just amazed sometimes, though, at how Srila Prabhupada dealt with people in such an expert way.
Yeah, I appreciated that story that you gave about the devotee asking that question. So that was a little bit of a surprise sometimes how Prabhupada reacts in ways that you have to think about it, you know, like, it was such an incredible answer. Obviously, he doesn't know God because he's not, even if you're a devotee and someone tells you about God from another tradition, still, we can appreciate it, you know, that's Krishna. That was like really very instructional.
Yeah. And it's true, I mean, because I've kind of come across similar incidents, and you can't really preach to somebody like that, you know, if they say, oh yeah, I already know, you know, it's like they're too full of themselves, it's, you know, you have to have some room where you can, you know, get some more knowledge. But if they think they know everything, then what can you tell them? So it's very difficult to.
This is a Prabhupada said, but you can't wake somebody up who's pretending to be asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they already know. They don't want to know. I mean, I know what I know. I've already compartmentalized it. Move on. You know.
Yeah.
I asked them, does God have a queen?
What was that?
Does God have a queen?
Oh,
has one.
Yeah.
But the other, they become surprised. They don't know what to say. When you say, does God have a queen?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there are, depending on the, you know, the individual, you can like try to, you know, preach and break through and see if they'll take the book, if that's what you were doing when you ran into this situation. But yeah, it's just how Srila Prabhupada exemplified, though, that you really have to know your audience, and you have to be able to like distribute, you know, a book or get somebody to take something without offending them. So otherwise, they make, you know, more offenses. So of course, you know, we want everyone to become Krishna conscious, and I'm not very good at it, but there are, you know, some book distributors that are just expert at getting, you know, people to disarm themselves and become, you know, submissive and take a book. It's a great service. But just thinking about how, you know, Srila Prabhupada, when he spoke about this verse, he you know, it's addressed here that, the sages said, where's that again? Yadi Krishna Kata Shrayam. And he says Krishna. He specifically mentions Krishna. It's not, you know, Sri Bhagavan. Of course, Krishna is Bhagavan, but specifically, he wanted to know how it was related to Krishna. And this should be everyone, every devotee's goal, and we should be very careful not to be so interested in anything if it doesn't have that relationship to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was saying, just like, you know, Arjuna is telling Krishna to bring his chariot in front of the army. You know, it's a military thing. And really, we have nothing to do or any interest in military, you know, dialogues and wars and stuff. But because it was Krishna, we have an interest. And Krishna was with his great devotee, Arjuna. So we have to have this be able to discern, you know, and even ask the question, like the sages were asking, you know, how does this is kind of an unpalatable subject, you know, some sudraka, cheater, fraud, kicking a cow, he should have been killed, you know, we don't like to hear about it, but we can understand it does have something to do with Krishna, so therefore we want to hear about it. And sometimes it's hard to, you know, mold our life within so much news or, you know, so many, you know, other things going on in the world, just to see how things are related to Krishna and to keep our focus on things about Krishna, because we will become purified if we do this. And conversely, if we think of other things, of Maya or material things, we become affected by that also. You know, just like Krishna, he very lovingly in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, always think of me. And he doesn't say that because of, you know, some ego or something that, oh yeah, everyone should think of me. But if you don't think of Krishna, then you're going to have to suffer birth and death, you know, repeatedly. He wants you to come back home. He wants you to enjoy. Krishna is our best friend. Krishna loves us. So when he tells us these things, like always think of me, you know, it's for our own good. And in the same way, these sages have kind of caught that up, that we don't want to hear about anything unless it's related to Krishna. You know, there's so many... you know, I'm going to say like movies, and Srila Prabhupada was very vocal sometimes about how devotees don't go to the cinema because that's Maya and it's forgetfulness of Krishna. So, you know, I'm saying these things for my own purification also, but we really have to have this eagerness, have this determination to only be concerned and only have things to do with devotional service in Krishna. That's who we really are. You know, we're not this body, and all these things in the material world are just, you know, temporary, you know, Maya, illusion, and they won't help us becoming more attracted or more attached to Krishna, and that's what we should desire. So Srila Prabhupada, though, when he was talking about this verse also, in the part where he was talking about how you're not the body, he said it's just like, you know, a car. You know, people are so attached to their car. You get into an accident and someone says, oh, you hit me. But of course, it's not them, it's just their car. And then he said, just like I may be like a Rolls Royce and you may be a Chevrolet. He said, but it's not true. We're not a Rolls Royce, or we're not a Chevy. We're not the car, even though there may be different gradations of bodies or different, you know, kinds of cars. And we're not. We're not these things. And to actually act on that platform is acting on the spiritual platform. And of course, the other interesting thing is that, like I was saying before, how everything is situated on our desire. Krishna wanted the Kali Yuga to start. So this is also part of his, you know, pastimes of how Kali would meet up with Parikshit and how he would, you know, get a place to stay. And Krishna desired for this to happen. So in one sense, this material world is really the desire of the forgetful living entity or the envious living entity. You know, he wants to be and try to enjoy separate from Krishna, so Krishna creates this world. It's not that Krishna really wants this material world, but he's fulfilling everyone's desire, and so in that way he created it, and it's his desire to rectify us, you know, going through this material world. And it was actually, this material world is created in such a way that it's miserable, and that we'll you know, suffer some pain, and it's not our real home. I like to say this one little tidbit of Srila Prabhupada, that one time he came into an airport and he gave a little talk, and he said, just like when I come into your country, I'm considered a foreigner, so we should all consider ourselves foreigners in this material world. And it was just such a perfect, you know, thing to say. And it like I say, it's simple. It's the ABC, we're not the body. But to actually realize it, to actually act on that platform, is something that we all have to strive for. We're doing this devotional service and practice. So, are there any questions about anything so far? Or comments?
I was just thinking how much Prabhupada enjoyed hearing about Krishna. You know, when somebody complimented him on his book, he said, no, it's not my book. Krishna was actually dictating to him. And how sometimes he'd be watching a play, like watching in Mayapur, you know, they were in the Age of Kali.
I saw that too.
Yeah, and Prabhupada, you saw it. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I was in Mayapur.
Oh, you were there then?
In 1977, the Gaur Purnima.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And the Prabhupada would bring tears to his eyes, and it's not like, okay, I've heard that story. No, it's like, the more you hear it, the more really you can relish it, the more you can enter into it and understand it. Like Prabhupada said, is a newspaper, you know, you read the newspaper, of course people don't read the newspaper anymore, much. Everything's online. But, you know, the next day it goes on the floor for the dog, you know, or your pets, but Krishna's pastimes, and they're ever fresh. And the more we read, the more we want to really read about it and understand it. So that's just the beauty of it.
Yep.
And it was so beautiful watching Prabhupada, you know, cry or, you know, laugh. I forget which pastime it was some play or something. Demon was getting killed. People were laughing, you know, like he was so innocent and so childlike.
Yeah.
And enjoyed so much hearing about Krishna.
There's one online comment.
Okay.
From Mahavishnu Priya Mataji.
Okay.
I felt that when Srila Prabhupada would talk to a person, he was actually reading their mind.
Mm-hmm.
I was making an offering to Srila Prabhupada in front of him when he glared at me, startling me out of my trance, and I realized, oh my God, I am standing in front of my spiritual master and my mind is wandering. Goshta Bihari Das says that our mission is to wake up the sleeping soul, but not to disturb their mind of those who are convinced in their ways.
Yeah, very wonderful points. And I totally agree how Srila Prabhupada could read his devotees' minds, and he knew exactly what to do and say to, like, fan that fire of their Krishna consciousness and make them, you know, more enthusiastic and to, you know, to continue to dedicate their life to serving him. I mean, I've told this story before, but just with me, I somehow or other, when I first became a devotee, Satsarup was the temple president in Boston, and he used to tell all these stories of Srila Prabhupada of the early days in 1966 at 22nd Avenue. And he used to tell some stories of how Srila Prabhupada was very inquisitive. You know, he wanted to know about, you know, how people were living, and, you know, that's why they started the Sunday love feast, is because most people, they would have a big meal on Sunday. You know, and just things like that. And I just always thought, wow, that would be really wonderful to have Srila Prabhupada ask me a question, you know, and I could, you know, serve him in that way of answering it. And it actually happened in New Vrindavan. I was on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada, and we were walking along the road to Old Vrindavan, and just chanting japa, and a calf came down in front of the of Srila Prabhupada in the walking, and Prabhupada stopped and he put his cane, you know, in the dirt, and he said, "How old is that calf?" And I was like right next to Srila Prabhupada at that point, and I just really heard him, you know, "How old is that calf?" And years before that, I was one of the coward boys, and I had been working with the cows, so I knew a little bit, but I was looking around, maybe one of the current coward boys would be there who would know, you know, all the details about that calf. But they weren't there, so I looked at the calf really hard, and I can see, you know, that the milk bag hadn't developed. So I said, "Oh, that's very young Srila Prabhupada, the milk bag hasn't developed yet." And Srila Prabhupada looked at me and he said, "I know that." And I just felt like, oh, what a fool am I, you know. Wow. And I actually felt bad, you know, and I started like kind of going to the back of the walk, and you know, I was thinking, geez, why was I thinking I could, you know, offer Srila Prabhupada, you know, something, some knowledge like that. But I heard him ask the question. So anyways, the next day, when Srila Prabhupada was at Bahulaban and he was there for Guru Puja, he gave his class, and he went out after the class, and they used to have like a little kirtan walking with Srila Prabhupada to his car. And actually, I think this time he actually went in to see the marble shop, and then he came back out and was getting in his car, and somebody opened the door for him. And he didn't get in the car, but he was looking out over the top of his car. Excuse me. And I was also, I happened to just be standing right next to him. And he had this little smile on his face, and he turned around and he looked at me and he said, "What's growing over there?" And I actually knew that we had planted mung beans on this on the side of the hill across the street. So I said, "Oh, those are mung beans, Srila Prabhupada." And he said, "Oh, thank you very much." And I was ecstatic. I couldn't believe it. But, you know, such a stupid little thing, you know, that, you know, I wanted to answer a question of Srila Prabhupada, that he actually, he gave me the chance and I actually knew the answer. And I couldn't believe it. You know, then the car drove off. And I was just, like I said, I was ecstatic for days, just such a little thing, but Srila Prabhupada really knew, you know, how to enliven his devotees. And, you know, it wasn't a big thing, it wasn't something that, you know, everybody like took notice of or anything, but for me it was very meaningful and very deep and wonderful. And I'm sure Srila Prabhupada had, you know, those moments with his devotees, you know, so many times and all over. So, is there anything else? Okay, thank you very much. No glories to Srila Prabhupada.